Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Flat Out. A magnificent weekend in prospects, what with the Cambridgeshire and Group 1s galore at Newmarket, and of course, the wonderful couple of days at Paris-Longchamp with the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe headlining all those Group 1s. So much to look forward to. And alongside myself, Joey and Jack, this week, it's special guest, Jordan Hopkins, a Gaelic genius, if ever there was one. Jordan, great to have you along. I imagine you're most excited about this weekend, probably more than anyone else around at the moment.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. Looking forward to it. Currently sat in St Pancras, trying my best to find a quiet spot. So if you hear some tannoy background noise, then I can only apologise. Looking forward to the weekend ahead. And it should be good. Good race at Newmarket as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Ready for your Eurostar to Paris to whisk you off to see some of the action at Paris-Longchamp. Good to have Jack and Joey alongside, as always. And chaps, lots to look forward to over the coming couple of days. And Joey, it's always sort of the culmination of the season, isn't it, with the Arc? And I think this year's race is very open, actually.
Yes, Tom, I think it's a fascinating renewal of the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, you don't have, as people say, an enable in it this year, something that's really solid that you're a bit worried about. I mean, you've got a lot of real potential in Ace Impact. But I think aside from that, it's really open, and there should be some good horses that will really, really test him out and see whether he's a real top notcher.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to see how he gets on over that longer trip as well. And Jack, we talked about the openness. I mean, it is one of those races where you can give chances to so many, couldn't you?
You can, Tom. Yes. Before I touch on the August, warm welcome to Jordan. Proper judge on instead of us three pretenders. Looking at the Arc, it's a fascinating renewal. As you say, it doesn't look like a vintage race. So, no, I'm looking forward to getting stuck in later and hopefully finding the winner.
Yeah, let's start on the big race. And there's no better place to begin, really, than with Jordan and Jordan's thoughts on some of these French contenders. Because I imagine, Jordan, you've got your own view on how good Ace Impact is and how good he could be.
Yeah, for sure. Give it my best shot anyway. I mean, to be fair, he surprised me. I think surprised quite a lot of people. A fair deal with how much he's come on since a fairly poor renewal of the Prix de Souque and Cansomer in late January. It's only an unraced maiden, and it's only a winter or weather unraced maiden to anyone that's watching it from the UK, but tends to throw up a fair few smart performers, and Rouget has used it a good few times the last few years. In 2020, he had Port Guillaume make his debut in it. He was probably the best three-year-old of his year in France, moral winner of the Prix de Jockey Club, and then he had a bad race in Grand Prix de Paris, and he's ended up over hurdles in Australia. So hopefully Ace Impact will be doing a little bit better than he did. But look, he sets a good standard on form. I think he could probably pick holes in the form of his winning the Guillaume Donano. It was more the manner of his victory and just how facile it was over anything. Would have been probably nice to see how Al Reefer got on after that race. Because fairly lacklustre return to action on his three-year-old debut, but that was obviously a solid performance, and seems to be a lot of confidence in him in the Joseph O'Brien camp going towards that part of the season. He's clearly a very talented horse, and interesting to see if he can see out that. The 12 furlongs as effectively as he does the 10 with how much speed he has. On pedigree, you'd expect him to, but then again, on pedigree, you wouldn't expect him to have as much speed as he's been shown. He's probably the right favourite.
Don't think he'll win it. Go on then, Jordan. Who do you think is going to win? I mean, talk about the rest of the race as far as you're concerned. Who do you think is the most likely winner?
To be honest with you, it's such a. I think anyone that's got a real nap in this year's Arc is probably lying, because it's such an open race, and you could make a strong case for probably pretty much all of the three quarters of the field. You can make a fairly strong case. I probably controversially to most, I actually prefer Feed the Flame of the two good three-year-olds in the race from France. I think this horse is a real Longchamp specialist. His Grand Prix de Paris was probably one of the best three-year-old performances of the year. Obviously, he's been beaten fair and square by Ace Impact over 2,100 metres in the Jockey Club and has that form for reverse. But like I say, I think Longchamp really suits this horse. Pascal Barry has mentioned that on multiple occasions. For whatever reason, he just seems to thrive around that. Horse form's particularly important. I think he's extremely talented. He'll only be a bet horse next year, and hopefully he can give Pascal Barry his first start after Soleimani, who I'm really too young to remember, but I had a good look back at his 2002 renewal. Probably wouldn't have been happiest if I'd had an apple slip on him.
Yeah, Feed the Flame for Christophe Soumillon, of course. Who knows Longchamp at the back of his hand. Interesting thoughts there from Jordan, I have to say, of course, on those French contenders. Jack, come to you with this Arc de Triomphe, because Jordan's given his thoughts, Feed the Flame and Ace Impact. So maybe give your thoughts on some of the English and Irish contenders.
I would actually just like to start just on Ace Impact. I think it's interesting there, Jordan's point, certainly on the first try at 12 furlongs. And I would question whether you'd be a thorough stay, as he says there, the pedigree wise, he should be fine, but he is quite a keen goer, isn't he? And I think I may butcher the pronunciation, Tom, you'll be able to correct me, but Saumarez in 1990 was the last horse to win the Arc on his first try at the trip. So the trends would be against him, and at the prices, I would probably just be against him. I do think it'll probably go the way of a English or an Irish raider this year. I've always been a huge fan of Baybridge. There's been obviously a well of support for him. And I think the question mark was always there whether he would run. And now that it's been confirmed, the kind of support and the Frankie factor for Free Win, she's another filly that obviously I've mentioned for this race as well. The draw came out this morning. Hook and Back, as will be head and hands with stall 14 and obviously Westover in stall 1. It's better than 14 for sure, but Joey and I were just discussing there before recording that could be a tricky enough spot for him, obviously with the way that there's not too much pace in the race either. So it's fascinating. Look, Baybridge is a horse I've always kind of thought that a mile and a half would be his best trip. Again, he is another who would probably have to kind of prove it. Obviously, at Kempton, he did. So I think it was a bit of an egg and spoon race there. So I'm still have that little question mark over his stamina, but I'm glad he's ticked that box. He seems to be a horse that always comes to hand at the second half of the year. And I think perhaps this is maybe something they've thought of for a good time. I remember James Savage talking a few months ago that the French race, meaning the Arc, was kind of always on the agenda. After he won at Ascot last year as well, they did think about the Breeders' Cup Turf. So I think it's something they've had in mind for a good time. And obviously, there's not too much juice in the price left now at around 14-1, but he would be my selection. And yeah, Free Wind as well with the Frankie factor. She's short enough now, but I'm hoping she can go well. But yeah, Baybridge for me.
Yeah, a couple of nice prices there, Jack. And Joey, I'm sure you've got thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, no, I think... I mean, I largely do agree with Jack. I think the interesting thing this year is you usually get a thorough test at the trip, don't you, in the Arc? And this year, there just doesn't seem to be much pace in it for me. I mean, it looks like it could be quite muddling. And I think one of those horses drawn wide will probably make the running. I think you're going to be forced to. Maybe the likes of Simca Meal or Fantastic Moon, something like that out wide, might just have to gun it, because I think it's going to be quite messy otherwise, because there really is very little confirmed pace, and there's a lot of hold up horses, and I think that would for me that would be a real concern for likes of Ace Impact as a favorite. I mean, Dali have been going on about how Cracksman has this supposed speed gene and he's injecting it into some of his offspring. We haven't seen enough of them to really judge that yet, but I mean, you'd say that Ace Impact is a real representation of that possibility. He's from a family quite solidly in the 10 furlong camp. For all that he wasn't stopping at the line, I would have concerns, and as rightly been pointed out, the record of horses haven't tried the trip before the Arc is just pretty terrible. And in that regard, I think Bay Bridge again, and that I'd fall on the same one as Jack. I think he has the class of the likes of Westover and Hookham, who are shorter in the betting. He's just unexposed over the mile and a half trip. He's got that fantastic draw in six. I really don't like Westover in one. I think Rob might be forced to go forward on him to get out of trouble. And I really don't like him in this scenario, really, in that position. Because I think if he goes backwards, he's in trouble. And if he goes forward, I don't really like him. Hookham from out there could get caught wide and be in all sorts of trouble. But he'll come down the middle of the track and may well be good enough to stay on. But I quite like Bay Bridge. I can see him being in a nice position to strike, coming around the false straight and kicking for home. And maybe just holding on from the closer to likes of Feed the Flame, who's a horse I really like. I mean, I think he looks like he's going to just get better and better. But I just don't think the way the race is going to run is going to suit some of those. So I'd be fairly strong on Bay Bridge, and that's why I'm going to best bet him. I know, as Jordan's rightly pointed out, it's hard to have a nap in such a competitive race. But I really did struggle elsewhere to find something that seemed to be as much value. Because I think if he does, you can be doubtful about his pedigree in terms of, obviously, New Bay wasn't a solid mile and a half horse. He was probably better over 10. In his family, there is speed, but it's an Aga Khan family with some real stayers in there. So there is hope. And I think when he hits the line, even in these strongly run races, you can see that he goes through the line and he may well improve for it. And so I'm hopeful. I am hopeful he'll stay the trip. And you're getting a 14-1 price, whereas you've got the likes of Hookham and Westover, who I think are as classy as, maybe aren't quite as classy as him, who are much shorter. So I think there's a bit of juice in his price. And so I'm going to be in the Bay Bridge camp. He'll be my best bet for the weekend each way, Tom.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, two really good shouts for Bay Bridge, particularly from Joey there. And unexposed over the trip, there'll be plenty more to come. Richard King against Sir Michael Stout. Be lovely for Sir Michael, wouldn't it, after Desert Crown not really having any luck this year to get the win with Bay Bridge. Just as far as I'm concerned about the race, I think it's a cracking renewal. Really looking forward to it. I wouldn't have a huge opinion on who's going to win it, but one that I'm looking forward to seeing is Through Seven Seas, the Japanese raider. We've not mentioned her, but the form of her second last time in the Kinen, the grade one over there in Japan, it is sensationally good. Just half a length behind Equinox closing at the line. We know how good Equinox is. And yeah, that was a really good performance from Through Seven Seas. And although Japan are still yet to win the race, of course, they have gone very, very close with the likes of Nakayama Festa or Fairbrit in the past. So I can see Through Seven Seas running well. She'll need it to dry up a little bit. It's soft ground at the moment in Longchamp, but it is dry and it's not due to rain until next week. So they could end up going good to soft, I think, and that would be, I think, fine for Through Seven Seas. Joe, you mentioned... Go on.
I think we should probably mention Continuous, lads, because we've had some comments in the past how we're a bunch of Godolphin bashers and we don't give Ballydoyle their due respects in these races when we said that Auguste Rodin wasn't going to win the Derby. So we should probably have a word on him. Does anyone have any thoughts on Continuous backing up from the ledger?
Well, what I would say about that, Joe, is that I was in the Racing TV studio this week and George Baker and Dave Neveson were both really confident about Continuous being there or thereabouts in the arc. And despite the fact, of course, that being a ledger winner, the question mark is there about whether he's got enough speed over the slightly shorter trip. Neither of them were in any doubt that he does have that. And obviously, you need a bit of stamina to win the arc. So he's got that in abundance. Jordan, were you impressed with the winners, Listen Ledger from Continuous?
Yeah, I thought you'd struggle not to be impressed with it, really, with regards to his arc chances. Look, I'm by no means going to not the decision of Bournemouth to supplement, because I think by any means I know better than anyone to do with it. However, with it being a week shorter backup into the art this year, and you could argue that they don't really have another standout candidate to run it. I don't know. I just sort of get the aura that, you know, he's won the ledger now and he's fine. So why not? Let's just take our chance. As opposed to, you know, it doesn't really scream bullish to me. It just screams that he's I don't know where I'm going with that point, but I couldn't really strongly fancy him. Just really like that ledger was, you know, fairly hard race and 2 weeks into an arc. Couldn't be for me.
Yeah, I guess that is, Jack, one of the issues, isn't it? That short turnaround. But we all know that Aidan O'Brien is no stranger to doing that with horses.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that would be true. I just think, to echo what Jordan said, I do think it is a bit of an afterthought. As we know, Save the Last Dance was, this was her intended target. She now misses out. Well, again, speaking with Joey on Sunday, I kind of thought that perhaps they may supplement Auguste Rodin just with the warmer weather. It's been in the high 20s this week, hasn't it? That isn't the case. And yeah, they're going with their sole running continuous. I think it is just a bit of an afterthought, perhaps, that, well, we're going to have one runner in the race at least, aren't we? And I was really surprised, actually. I should know this anyway, but how many winners has Aidan O'Brien actually had in the arc? Do you lads know off the top of your head? Yeah, two. And two. I was quite surprised at that for the ammunition he's obviously had over the last 20-odd years. So
That's Dylan Thomas and Fan, isn't it, is the two of those?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So yeah. I thought maybe they'll throw all their bullets, that they'll maybe even think about running Paddington, you know, at one point. And Auguste Rodin was the obvious choice to really supplement as well. But look, they're going, as I say, with their sole runner in continuous. I again just echo what Jordan says. I think it was a hard race at Doncaster. He wouldn't be for me, certainly at the prices now. It was obvious, he's the obvious short now once they thought, well, yeah, let's run him. But I think it's just he's the only one that can run now, really, isn't he? So Auguste Rodin, they've confirmed it for the Breeders' Cup turf.
Hasn't he quickened past 2 milers in that ledger? And are we just being a little bit too excited about a classy mile and a half horse just beating up 2 mile horses?
Quite possibly, yeah.
I thought that the way the race was set up was allowed him to go and show he was better than the horses he was running against. And I think just dropping him into this class, we might see his true. I mean, you can be kind, can't you, and say it was a bit of a stop start to beginning to his season, and so his defeats earlier in the season were just the fact that they were, like they do with Ballydore, they just keep running them, don't they, and get them fit that way. But I just get the feeling that they don't think he's quite as classy, and I think we could be just overrating how good that ledger performance was. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on continuous, Tom.
But, yeah, nice one.
Slamming Ballydoyle again.
Yeah, we've not done much to quell the accusations, have we?
No, I think the comments are going to be pretty vicious again. But I mean, it's not a good year to be a Godolphin fanboy like they've accused us of, is it? I mean, it's been a terrible year for them, really, in these big races. Yeah. They just don't seem to have the level of horses that they tend to. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a refreshing sight to see Charlie Appleby training a couple of winners on the Rolly Mile since it's come back to that course over the last couple of weeks, I have to say. Normal service has almost been resumed in that regard. Joe, your best bet came with Baybridge, just said that just now. Being flat out, we have best bets from the team. And Jack, come to you next with yours, because there's a fair few races to choose from this weekend.
Yes, there is. And I'm going to go tomorrow, Friday, in the opening race at Newmarket, the Rosemary Stakes. This filly I mentioned the other week at Doncaster, Coppice. She didn't run because the ground was too soft. We're good to firm. There is a few showers about, but it's going to be no worse than good tomorrow. And yeah, I just think completely rule out her race last time at Sandown. The saddle slipped. Prior to that, she'd run a really good race on good to soft ground in the Falmouth Group 1 race. Look, I think she's way better than this class of listed race. She's dropping down. You can get a standout 4-1 with Hills, but she's generally 7-2. And I just think she's an outstanding bet. She's a horse that really shouldn't be at this level. I'm not sure whether she'll have any more targets after this, unless you're going to go to maybe the Breeders' Cup. But yeah, she's a horse I'm looking forward to seeing again next year. But this looks a grand opportunity to get back to winning ways. And yeah, I'm really quite strong on her.
Lovely stuff, Jack. Coppers for you. I'm going to go to Saturday into the middle park, because I think Van Dijk should be odds on. I'm amazed he's not shorter than 9-4. He's 9-4 in places now, which I think is kind of mad, because he's got the best form of the race so far. That pre-morning was such a strong race in France last time. He beat a very, very good filly in second. River Tiber back in third. You know, he's joint favourite alongside him. For me, Van Dijk has the star quality to win the middle park, and I think he'll win it well. So that would be my best bet, as simple as that, really. I am quite confused as to why he's not shorter than he is, but there you go, one of those things. I don't know. We might come on to that in a few moments' time. And Jordan, I'm not sure about whether you've got a best bet or not over the weekend for the French racing, seeing as you're an expert in all of that, though. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on some of the smaller races, perhaps.
Yeah, sure. So it's a lot of competitive racing in Longchamp this weekend. Very difficult for the most part, to be fair. If I was to pick a best bet, I would probably choose a horse called Gallerist in the pre-show, Danae. He's in the Group 2 Stayers race on Saturday, 3,000 metres. He's won his last five, beaten on debut in an UNOD, and gone from strength to strength since. They were mulling over the King Edward handicap at Royal Ascot for him, but instead went for a listed race at Toulouse, which he won with relative ease, and they stepped him up to 3,000 metres last time over the same course, distance he races at Saturday, and he's essentially just won very easily, beating two of the main rivals that he has to face on the weekend, in Savannah's Knight and Double Major. So the one horse he has to beat is a horse called Harbour Wind of Dermot Wells. He's owned by Moy Glare Stud and sort of a typical Dermot Wells stayer, sort of type he does so well with. I'd be very wary of him and would expect him to go off favour. However, Gallerist could end up favour on the PMU. I expect him to be very popular. He travelled so well into the straight last time, and I think he's worth upgrading over the margin of his victory. He seems to be a horse that just does enough. And I really like him. Then, crikey, it is really tough going. In the Prix de l'Opera, I think Tom Clover's Road Millennium has a big chance there. It's probably not, it definitely isn't the best Prix de l'Opera renewal. You could probably call it a Group 2, really. If it was, probably nobody would bat an eyelid. But her run behind Tahira in Ireland last time, I thought that was a huge performance. And she can back that up over the extended trip. It's back up to 10 furlongs, which she won over, obviously, in the... she didn't. She won at Royal Ascot and the Duke of Cambridge. But she's obviously proven she can stay. She won the Lingford Oaks trial as a three-year-old and ran a massive race in the Oaks. I think she's a pretty solid bet at 8-1, and I think Brian Meehan's JRB has a bit of a double figures flyer. I think he's going to run a big race in the Lagardère on the Sunday. I was quite impressed with his performance at Newmarket on debut. Obviously, it's a massive step up, but he's talking, you know, quite big things for him. And I just thought he was quite impressive in what's not. Probably not the strongest renewal of the Lagardère, albeit much stronger than last year. I can see him run the big race, and he'll likely be a massive prize in the PMU if any UK punters are going over.
Excellent stuff. No, fascinating thoughts there, Jordan. I definitely wouldn't have had Brian Meehan's horse in my little catalogue of horses to follow this weekend, but you make a really good point. All that's left to say, I think, Jordan, is best of luck. Bon voyage. For the weekend. Really appreciate your time coming on, and hopefully some winners in there for you. And most importantly, enjoy all the action.
Cheers. Thanks very much for having me on, guys.
Great to have Jordan Hopkins on Flat Out this week. Many thanks to him. I think we're all very grateful for his thoughts. Nice to get a proper French expert on for a change. And fingers crossed some winners for Jordan. Just a reminder for all of you watching, do let us know your best fancy for the arc, or how you think the race is going to be run, or your thoughts on the race in general about how competitive it is this year. We'd love to hear from you, and please do comment. And of course, like and subscribe to this video as well. With the French racing in mind, there is a lot to talk about. And Jack, come to you first, just to kind of pick out a couple of highlights from you over the course of the next couple of days.
Yeah, look, you can hang your hat on what Jordan says. His track record is there to be seen by all. And yeah, it's interesting he said it mentions the Prix de l'Opera. It doesn't look a vintage renewal. I'd certainly be taking on Blue Rose Sen as well. Rugged Millennium, yeah, look, you can't knock her forward. A filly I've kind of had in mind for this race, and certainly looks like she might get better ground, a state occasion at 20-1. You boys know the regard I hold this filly in. I don't think Windsor really suited the last day, and then you could probably put a line through that. She certainly wasn't beaten by bad horses as well that day. So if she runs Dexter tomorrow, I would wait just for Dex before Bachner, but I think she's certainly far too big a price as well. Another on the short list was Jackie O. Ryan Moore could do no wrong at the Irish Champions Festival. I'd say the one ride he probably would like again was the ride on Jackie O, who she just got a nightmare passage. I don't think it was too much Ryan's fault. It's just the way the race panned out. He was kind of on the outside turning in. She's certainly a horse that I think is on the upwards on the upward curve. And I just think maybe at 8-1 though, she's probably around the right price now. I was hoping to get double figure odds on her, but those were the two certainly on the short list. And yeah, if one doesn't run, say occasion, I suppose would be a question mark even yet. But she's certainly the preference of the two. The Foray is interesting. Kinross, an old favourite of the three of us. As we know, it's been quite warm this week. It's not going to be soft or heavy as it has been in times gone by when Kinross has won this race as well. I think he's short enough. I'm not really sure what to take him on. I just think in terms of passing him by this year, I think 6-4 short enough for him on ground that isn't his optimum. And then coming back to the Abbey as well, you can't really touch this race until you get the draw as well. If you're out in double figures, it's just a non-event. Highfield Princess, she's got so much to prove now as well. Again, I think that's one you just kind of wait for Dex. And if you're drawn 7 or lower, then that's kind of where your angle is in the race. But yeah, just coming back to the York, sorry, as well, just to reaffirm my picks is Baybridge and then obviously Free Wind as a speculative each way chance. But again, with the Frankie factor, she's probably a touch too short now.
Excellent stuff, Jack. Really interesting thoughts from you there. And Jerry, I'm sure you've got some of your own as well.
Well, yeah, I can echo a fair bit. I mean, I think the Opera is actually a really interesting race, personally. We'll see obviously how it works out in time, but I do really quite like Jana Rose. She's a filly that I've been impressed with all the way through her career. I mean, the only time she hasn't won is in Chanty for the French Prix de Diane. So I mean, and I think she just got shuffled back in that, and you know how bad it can get when you get traffic problems in there. It was a bit of a non-event with Blue Rose Sen, and she's a filly for me. Blue Rose Sen the whole way through her career, her season this year, she looks like one of those that's quite slight, that I felt, this is why I took her on with Nashua in the Nassau, was just that she just seems like the one of those horses that other fillies will catch up with. And I think throughout the year, even though she looks really classy, I think they might improve. And Jana Rose is the sort of filly that I can see at long, she's won twice at Longchamp, and I just think that straight's really going to suit her, and she get motoring, and she might just mow anything down late. That form where I thought she beat Lumiere quite comfortably last time, and she's obviously gone on to win the Blandford. So I do like Jana Rose each way. I'm a bit different to Jack on Highfield Princess. I mean, I think we found this morning that, well, it is out there that she was in season in the Flying Five, and she broke badly as well. And so that was a complete non-event for her. I think that is the really fair just to strike that off. And apart from that, she's run really admirably in the Nunthorpe behind Live in the Dream, where nothing really got into it from off the pace. So I wouldn't be quite so negative for all that. She just looks like the kind of horse now that something can beat, that's improving. And I wouldn't claim to know enough about all the horses in the race around her to really put her up as a bet. But I wouldn't be surprised to see her come back. And I think she's running a bit like a filly nowadays that probably could do with just a little bit more cut in the ground, which she's going to get in Longchamp. So if she gets a decent draw, I think 7-2, she'll be hard to knock, I think. So yeah, those would be the two. I am going to look at the Abbey again. And if Highfield Princess gets a decent draw, I wouldn't be surprised if I try and recoup my Nunthorpe losses on her. So yeah, those would be my thoughts. But I do really like Jana Rose, and I'll be looking to back her each way once we get the final decks.
Excellent stuff, Joey. Really enjoyed that. I'm going to put forward a couple as well. I'm going to go slightly off-piste a little bit, and you'll probably be surprised about this one, but Run for Oscar in the Cadran on Saturday. I always thought this horse needs a bit of headgear, and he's got first-time blinkers employed on Saturday. It's a small field. Trushan's in there. We know how unreliable he is at the moment, and it depends what kind of Trushan turns up. If he pulls Holly Doyle's arms out in the same manner that he did last time at Doncaster, then I think he'll struggle to get home at 2.5 miles, to be perfectly honest. And the only other big danger for me in there is Emily Dickinson, but Run for Oscar has proven stamina over the trip. We've seen that on the flats and over hurdles. And I thought he would have got very close to Dawn Rising at Royal Ascot over 2.5 miles had he not been a little bit inconvenienced on that far side rail, didn't get a clear run at a vital time. So I think in first-time blinkers, hopefully Run for Oscar can find a little bit, because at his best, he wouldn't need to find a huge amount. And this tax corner kind of race, I think, could play to his strength. So he'd be an interesting one for me in the Cadran. And the other one is a French runner in the Jean-Luc Lagardère called Beau Vatier, who won the Prix La Rochette last time in really good style. That was a Group 3. He was long odds on to do just that, and he won pretty impressively. He was committed a little bit too soon, but still hung on well. And I think given a slightly more conservative ride, using that potent electric turn of foot that he does have, I think it'd be very hard to beat in that race. And I always like it in the Lagardère when you've got horses who have been trained in France and know the track. And I think that stands them in good stead, because often you get raiders going over there who don't quite perform to the level that they might. So for me, Beau Vatier in that Lagardère to make it 5th win in a row. He's 4 from 4 so far. So it looks a pretty exciting prospect in that. Cool. I think that's probably France fini.
Some wonderful pronunciation of the French words, as always, Tom. But I did get taken aback when you called Jordan a Gaelic expert. I thought, Jesus Christ, I thought I misheard you there. I thought that's some claim.
Quickly on, indeed. Let's talk about Newmarket on Saturday. We've got to do that because it's a cracking card, and the a feature race, or at least one of them, is the Heritage Handicap, the Cambridgeshire 35 runners spread across the Rowley Mile. Always a great spectacle. The draw is vitally important most of the time. Joey, what do you think about this one? I mean, obviously, it's a minefield of a race, but there's always an angle or two to try and get involved in.
There certainly is, Tom. I mean, what do we think? I mean, obviously, usually in this race, we want to be high numbers, don't we? Jack, you'd be in agreement with that. We want to be high numbers in this race over the years. And so you really don't want to be... were you with Dual Identity last year when he had the low draw? Or was that some? Is it only on the back of that you put him up anti-post? I think we should flag that.
Yeah, it was on the back of his running that, yes, last year. Yeah.
No, so that was it. You can get... You know, you can run a hell of a race on the far side of the track here, and just have absolutely no chance, as that showed, really. And we've had some really big price winners of this in recent years, haven't we? So it's not always dominated by the likes of the really kind of upwardly mobile three-year-olds, which we have at the top of the betting. And for me, in the form of Greek Order, he looks obviously like the, you know, proverbial creep horse in a handicap, really going somewhere. And, you know, to basically emulate the likes of Lord North, he's got a decent high draw. Just for me, just watching him, I look at him and he's a full brother to Sangarius, who was a lovely, big, powerful horse, wasn't he? I'm not sure that Newmarket's going to suit this horse perfectly, in my view. He looks kind of like he might get quite unbalanced. When he was so impressive at Newby last time, it took him a while to get motoring and into gear. And I'm just worried about in this race whether he might just get stuck in some traffic and never quite get going, and he might just get lost in it. And so I think at that price, he's a complete avoid, and he makes the market for everyone else. He may well be a Lord North, but I think at the sort of the price he is, he's one to be left alone. Would you be in agreement with that, Jack?
Yes, I'd say as much as that. I echo those points for sure.
Because it's interesting, because if he was that good, I mean, I think he's in the horses and training sale, isn't he?
Mm. No, I did see that. That was a surprise inclusion.
That was a bit of a surprise. I mean, it's not enough to put you off completely. But he does look like a horse going places. But I'll quickly get to my selection in the race. I went round and round in this, and I came down on Ed Dunlop's Haunted Dream. Just the way that he's been running this year, he's been travelling so strongly in his races. He's been the model of consistency. The ground's going to be fine for him. He's got a lovely high draw. I think he's going to travel into this beautifully. And just that drop down a furlong might just see him cling on in one of these races. And they're such cavalry charges. You never know exactly what's going to happen. I want one who's going to be out of trouble, who I can rely on to be back in each way with a vast number of places on offer. And I think with the £5 taken off by Morgan Cole, I think that's going, that might just, and I think he might just travel beautifully into this, and it might just be that he holds on. And we've seen horses do that in recent years at big prices. He's not quite as big as the 40 to 1 sort of range that we've had in recent years, but I think at 20 to 1 each way, he makes appeal to me, because I was very close to coming down on Oviedo, who's the other one who looks progressive, the other attractive profile. But I just rewatched the race at York, and I just think how keen he's going to be. He's going to be held up. He could get into trouble. And I thought, well, it was almost like a microcosm of why I'd rather be with Haunted Dream in this race. He looks more straightforward. I think he's going to be there in the finish, and he might just cop if these more attractive types don't get lost basically on the way. So yeah, Haunted Dream each way for me will be my selection in the Cambridgeshire, Tom.
Nice one, Joey. Yeah, really consistent horse, isn't he? He's performed really credibly in some big handicaps this season. I've also been hugely impressed with Morgan Cole. I think she's really good value for a £5. So yeah, can absolutely see that angle. I'll go quickly with mine. Just on the race itself, Greek Order, I thought was very, very impressive last time. Absolutely can see why he's favourites. I hope Dual Identity runs well for Jack as well. I'm sure you'll come on to that in a few moments' time, Jack. But for me, I'm going to put a couple up at bigger prices. One of those is Tyrrhenian Sea. He's drawn 14. She isn't ideal. This is a horse who has been, I think, compromised by the fact that he looked a bit of a world beater to begin with in his early parts of his career. And then there was one race at Kempton when he was sent off odds on. He got no run whatsoever. He was travelling on the bridle for 2 furlongs and then he just couldn't go anywhere. And I think that actually knocked his confidence, because since then he's not won. And for all that, I do think he's nicely handicapped, because I do think he is a group horse. At some point he's going to discover that talent, and I feel as though dropping down the weight a touch, this could be the time for him. I think he'll need a strong pace to get back on the board, and hopefully this can be the day. I know it's a hot race to try and do it, but he's a good price, and I still retain faith that he's going to be very smart in time. And the other one I like, now the draw has come out, actually, is Merlin the Wizard, who's now drawn 34, so right on the far side. And this is a horse who I've always been a fan of, actually, a three-year-old who I followed this season under a microscope, really, and has improved from strength to strength. Winning last time at Newmarket in good style, has earned an £8 rise for that. I think that's absolutely more than fair enough. He's still improving quite a lot. And I think he can take that in his stride. We know he likes the track. And for me, as an improving three-year-old, around about 20 to 1, Merlin the Wizard makes quite a lot of appeal, particularly, as I say, from that decent draw in 34. Hector Crouch is on board, which is only a good thing. I've really, really been taken by him so far this season and the last couple of campaigns as well. So Merlin the Wizard would be a nice each-way shot for me as well. I think the extra furlong as well should do him no harm whatsoever. I think he needs that. So, yeah, he'd be an interesting runner for me as well. Jack, I'm sure a lot of the race depends on your position on Dual Identity.
That's right, Tom. I think for context to the viewers, on Twitter is when I actually put him up. So it's not much use for me to kind of blow the trumpet now, of course. So he's what, 12 to 1. So yeah, I don't want to bang on about him too much. I think at 12 to 1 with 8 places, I think he's a solid enough each way price even now. It just looked wrong at the time, as I kind of explained then. And obviously going and winning at Sandown like he did, it was a bounce back to form. I am a little concerned still with the William Knight stable. They wouldn't be in great form. And yeah, I would prefer a little bit of juice for him, probably on the easier side. And it looks like we're going to be near enough good ground, possibly a little bit of soft. Good to firm. So we're on the quicker side of good. So I would actually prefer an easier surface. So maybe it's just the pessimist in me getting quite closer to the race due to my position. But there's a couple of us just mentioned in my shortlist. Two of the Joys mentioned that he's got them bang on the money. I think Oviedo and Haunted Dream, that form line is really strong. I think the likely types for the race. Towarda's another unexposed three-year-old, George Baker, who does a bit for Ed Walker. He's a horse I really like. I was really impressed with when he won at Newmarket. And I think he's still got a good bit in hand. If you actually watch him at York last time, he got no kind of run. And he's much better than that. And that was a proper mile handicap, as we know. And George kind of said that he wasn't sure if he'd run, but if he did, he's a horse he really likes as well. I'm just worried that he might just get caught out in a real cavalry charge like this, but certainly a horse to follow next year. He's one to put in the tracker for sure. So I'm going to leave him alone. And the other kind of bullet I'm going to fire at this, and I know I've just mentioned the draw, but I was a little bit annoyed to see him in stall four here, but that's Dutch Decoy for Charlie Johnston. Now, this horse, he ran in it last year, and he ran a really super race. He came on in at the race in really poor form, hadn't really shown anything. They kind of rode him wrong to how he needs to be ridden. He's, as we know, he's a bit of a hold-up performer. That day, he kind of made the run, and fair enough, he came on the near side, but he was stall nine that day last year. So perhaps they could well come over again. Neil Callan takes the ride, and I just think this year he's kind of been in the form of his life. He's never really been running better. Fair enough, last time he kind of bombed out, but that was on soft ground at Donny. And I just think at the prices on his general kind of profile and course form, as we know, is so important. Obviously, the dual identity, that's kind of how I look at this race. You see horses running well in it year on year. Just looking at his price here, you can get upwards of 50-1 in a place with Coral. There are only six places. If you wanted to get a few more places, to, Sky Bet again, shop around if you're having a bet. But they're down to 25s with eight places. So if you can get on with Corals and Lads at 50-1, I think he's a huge price. Then he's certainly the second string. As I say though, I would have preferred a double figure draw, but no, I think that this has been the target for some time for him. It just makes sense. He ran a really super race in it last year, and he really plugged on after kind of getting swallowed entering the furlong. And he could have easily finished near a 20th, but he plugged on. And I just think he really suits this test, and I can see him going really well at a big price.
Really good reasoning there, Jack. Yeah, very well said and very well analysed as well. Thanks for that. Obviously, there's plenty of other good racing this weekend, the Cheveley Park and the Middle Park being two of those races. And I've already mentioned how much I like Van Dijk in the Middle Park, particularly at the price of 9-4, 2-1 that he is. Joey, in summation, really, I mean, any other races you're looking forward to, would they be the Cheveley Park and the Middle Park?
I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to them, I have to say. I found the two-year-olds, especially in Britain this year, just a little bit underwhelming. There were horses last year that I just thought came out and they grabbed you, didn't they? I mean, like, obviously they haven't gone on. I mean, my favourite last year was Noble Style, and there were some performances last year that I felt that really grabbed me. This year, I found it quite hard to get too excited about them this side of the pond. I mean, I know Jack likes Relief Rally, but I mean, I find it hard to see that she's really the sort of horse you're going to get excited about for the future. So, yeah, no, I mean, I just wanted to add a final note. I'll let you guys talk about the Cheveley Park, but I just want to add a final note on the Cambridgeshire, and that was also that Dutch Decoy was another one that was just on my, was the just below Born to Dream on my shortlist. I think those two, you know, we never know. You never know what Prosser does with watering, and you can never be 100% on draw. So I wouldn't rule him out completely. But when you see that single figure number, it just really deflated me, and I thought I'll probably just stick to Haunted Dream. But yeah, I was very close with Dutch Decoy, because when you got horses that love Newmarket, you're just always drawn to them, aren't you? Because so many horses just don't like it there, can't handle the dip. So yeah, no, and I'll be very strong on Dutch Decoy. But the two-year-old races, I have to be honest, I don't have much of a strong opinion, apart from a very soft one behind you, that Van Dijk is being a bit overlooked, I think, in terms of River Tiber being more popular than he probably should be to reverse the form.
Yeah, I think we both agree on that there, Joey. The Cheveley Park then, Jack, I know that you've been a fan of Relief Rally the entire season. Are you going to be with her again for this?
Of course I am, of course. And look, it would just be nice to have followed this filly before she ran, essentially, to the end of the season to win a Group 1. It's important what Joey says there, that it doesn't look like she's going to train on, so I can see the kind of angle that this isn't a horse to really get excited about, certainly for next year. But these are important races, of course. But no, it would just be fantastic for this filly. I think she is the standout filly, probably with rose tinted glasses. She's just a super filly. Her performance last time out at York, I think that was kind of overlooked. She got Tom out of a bit of trouble there, I thought. And her turn of foot on quicker ground, I know Connections obviously think she's probably suited to a bit of ease, but the way she really quickened up there was something to behold. And I struggle to see past her here, even now at 2-1. I've backed her, myself at those prices. So certainly wouldn't put you off. I think this isn't too much of a step up. Jasna Secret's an interesting one. Couldn't have Soprano at all. Some of that form from Salisbury we've already seen. She's beaten fillies there at York last time. So yeah, I'm quite strong on Relief Rally, but that's probably not a surprise, is it? But yeah, any kind of rain or a shower about tomorrow, but that would be in a favour. But I don't think she really too minds good to firm as we've seen at York last time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the strongest Jubilee Park we've ever seen, to be honest. I'm very surprised, like you, Jack, the Soprano is as short as she is, third favourite. I think it's a bit weird, to be honest. The one that I would be scared of for Relief Rally is Jasna Secret, because I've heard mutterings across the pond in France, and even Jordan actually has told me in person that he thinks Jasna Secret is a bit of a machine. So it's going to be really fascinating to see what she can produce on the Roly Mile. I've seen, how many times have we seen it, that horses come over here from France in this kind of race, two-year-olds particularly, and run on the Roly Mile and just completely are all at sea because they've never experienced anything like it. It is, as we all know, idiosyncratic. Into the dip, it can be very easy to get unbalanced. So we could see that from Jasna Secret. If we don't, I think she'll put it up to Relief Rally and hopefully give her a race, and hopefully Relief Rally will have to earn that Group 1 and prove that she is at top level this season. Cool. That pretty much sums us up, I think, gents. All that's left to say, really, is good luck with your selections. And this has got to be one of my favourite weekends of the year in terms of racing. It's just wherever you look, it's just class, isn't it? And it's not even just that it's Group 1s, but some of the handicaps are proper class too. So there's something for everyone as well. Thanks very much for your time, and thanks to Opulent Thoroughbreds once again for supporting this podcast, and thanks to you for watching as well. Please do like and subscribe and follow this YouTube channel, and please do gamble responsibly as well. When the fun stops, please do stop,
and please add your selections for any of the races in the comments. Get discussion going, you know, give us an opinion on what is a fascinating Arc de Triomphe. Are you with Bay Bridge? Do you think we should be with the Ballydoyle 3-year-old? Are we talking nonsense again? Please do tell us in the comments.
Or will this be the first year that Japan get on the board in the Arc de Triomphe? We shall see. Who knows? So many potential permutations to enjoy ahead of this weekend's action. Thanks very much indeed. We'll see you all next time.